Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus. The UNM Athletics Department is under intense scrutiny right now. The state auditor and attorney general are investigating the financial management of the department going back several years. This came after news broke that the department covered expenses for some athletics boosters or major donors on a golf trip to Scotland. We also learned in recent months that fees for many suites at the Pitt went unallocated for years, collected for years. UNM's accreditation is reportedly being reviewed early in light of some of these revelations about financial management of the department. What does all this mean for fans, alumni, and current students? We're taking a closer look at these issues and the potential future of the UNM Athletics Department this hour, and we want to hear from you. Are you a current or former Lobo? Are you a fan who closely follows football, basketball, or other sports at our state's flagship university? Call in and share your thoughts about UNM Athletics today. The number is 277-5866, or use the hashtag #LetsTalkNM on Twitter. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Chris Vallejos, Associate Vice President at UNM. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Also, Jeff Grammer, staff writer at the Albuquerque Journal, who currently covers UNM sports. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
And we have Gabe Gallegos, a UNM undergraduate student and former communications director for student government. Thanks for being here, Gabe.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff, I want to start with you. You've reported extensively on financial issues in UNM athletics. What do you hope readers are taking away from your reporting?
What I hope they take away is just the facts, just the numbers. I think a lot of people can read into to different things and different motives when a sports reporter is, as I am, writes about the finances and the news, if you will, of an athletics department. A lot of people would rather I just stick with covering the games, but this is public money. It's a public institution. They'll tell you the same, and I think it's important that people know where the money is being spent. And in a department that is dealing with $33 million a year in an operational budget, I think it's absolutely in the public's interest to cover the budget every year. And I've been doing that. I've been at the Journal 5 years, and each summer I've done it. It's not just this summer. Every past summer I've written about the budget as well, and I think it's important to do so.
You've taken some heat online, you and some other reporters, lots of criticism on social media.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's part of the game, especially as some know, I'm a New Mexico State graduate. I'm the Aggie covering the Lobos, so a lot of the heat I take comes from that avenue, he just kind of has an axe to grind because he's an Aggie, which is silly. I was the sports editor of the Las Cruces Sun News for a few years, and I can guarantee you they weren't any more happy with my coverage of them than some Lobo fans are of my coverage of the Lobos. And the reality is I'm, you know, covering the numbers and covering the budget is not a shot, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be taken as such if reporting on budgets of the athletic department is in some way construed as me taking a shot at them, then maybe the problem is in the numbers. And I think that's what some people sometimes forget.
What are some of the key things that have jumped out to you that you think kind of everybody needs to be paying attention to?
I think one of the big key things is let's remember that $4 million a year in student fees is going to athletics. And I do think that it is important that an athletics department revisit every year, and not just say you're going to revisit, but revisit every year what those student fees are going to. If students aren't showing up to the games every year, and that's been a big issue for the past several years, both in men's basketball and football, the two biggest opportunities for revenue generation out of the athletics department, women's basketball as well, but not on the same level as men's basketball and football. If the students aren't going there anymore to those games, it's kind of a tough time to say, well, maybe we need more student fees. I mean, if the students quit going to the games, then what are the students' student fees going towards if they're not actually participating in these athletics anymore? And as Chris can attest, and as previous athletic director Paul Krebs has told the Board of Regents, other Mountain West schools, the league the Lobos compete in, obviously, other Mountain West schools get more student fees than UNM does. They're right about the middle of the pack. There's some that get less. There's 12 football-playing schools in the Mountain West, 11 in basketball and every other sport. They're right in the middle. They're about fourth or fifth or sixth, I think, in what they get in student fees. Paul Krebs would tell you when he was here that they need more student fees to compete. But if the students aren't going to the games, I think it's time to reevaluate, A, are we going to get the students back? Or B, do we need to maybe start making some tough decisions about how much subsidies we get from students?
Let's ask a student right now. But folks who are listening in today, do you want to talk about student fees, current student fees going to athletics at UNM? The number to call, 277-5866. That's 277-5866. Gabe, you wrote a letter that was published in the Daily Lobo this week talking about the athletics department. Student fees part of your concerns?
Oh, definitely. Student fees are a part of my concern. They're a part of students' concern. I think that student trust in the athletic department is, frankly, at an all-time low. I think that students see every single year athletics essentially being given a blank check every single year for what they want to do without having that real accountability, that real scrutiny that I think that, especially when it's student money going to this, this enterprise, it's important that we're looking into that heavily. There's a student committee at UNM, actually, that sends recommendations to the regents about how much student fee should go to the department. Every single year, this committee that doesn't get the detailed list of where fees are going. And so I think that with this new reporting, this new coverage that's going on, this new kind of this new sunshine that's being brought to light, I think it's really time that we sit down and say, where exactly are these fees going?
Lots of folks do love sports and are willing to invest in it. Are you listening today? How do you think UNM should pay for sports? Who should be paying for it? How much should it cost? The number again, 277-5866. Chris Vallejos, I'd like to go to you now. First, can you tell folks your role with the athletics department right now? You're a longtime UNM leader. What are you doing in athletics at the moment?
Sure. Thank you, Sarah. My role was I was asked by senior leadership to go in athletics and sort of do an evaluation and assessment of the overall budgeting, finance, the model. You know, there's lots of different revenue accounts, if you will, or revenue sources. Student fees, obviously, is one, but ticket revenue is another one. Fundraising is a huge one. I mean, guarantees for football games and basketball games, just lots of different revenues, fees from the conference. So what I'm doing is I'm interviewing a lot of the coaches, a lot of the administrators, understanding what the budget methodology is, what's been going on, what type of financial reporting goes on in the department, all that. And my role is to give recommendations to senior leadership on how we can continue a sustainable model into the future, but taking some of my best practices that we've done in institutional support services. I oversee 15 divisions, and we're very focused and disciplined in our financial management and discipline, as I call it. So I'm trying to employ some of those practices at athletics by looking at monthly budgets, variance analysis, trends analysis. I mean, some of the things that go on with financial management, but better discipline in that area.
Are you going to be listening to students like Gabe, their recommendations about what they'd like to see?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, as Gabe just talked about, you know, the transparency, it's very important. But remember, there's millions of dollars of student fees that go to Student Health Center, that goes to the Student Union Building. And I don't know what kind of transparency are they going in their operations and looking at every student dollar that's being spent. I will go in front of the Student Fee Review Board when the time comes this year to have transparency. I believe in transparency. We work for a public institution, and I will be there with, I don't know if he'll be the new athletic director or if Janice Ruggiero will be there, but as senior leaders, we'll be there in front of the students. It's definitely, we want the students to have experience. Student fees go to have a student experience. There's money that goes into recruiting. There's money that goes into travel. There's money into student health that we want to keep our athletes, and those fees help a number of areas. So people tend to look at it very linearly, but it's really complex on where all the revenues and all the expenses are being done. So I know that we've given the students tours, and we've tried to engage the students at athletics. Some people are more open than others. Some students aren't in favor of athletics. So you get a mixture. That's what makes our university diverse. We're in a diverse culture, and so you can't please every constituency group, no matter how you try, no matter where you're at, if you're in the Student Union Building, whether it's bringing in speakers, whatever. And athletics is no different. We try to look at what those expenses are and how we can use that student fee dollar to help us be competitive and have the student experience.
So you've talked a lot about the process of how this works and making a budget. But I think one thing that's still a lot of people are wondering is UNM has safeguards for spending, has a lot of rules about how credit cards can be used by employees. We learned in some of the reporting by Jeff Grammer, by Daniel Libet from New Mexico Fishbowl, that people were using credit cards in ways they shouldn't have. Why did it take years to uncover that?
I really can't speak to that. You know, I wasn't part of the team. I'm a forward-looking administrator. You know, I'm assessing it. I'm trying to put better controls in place, make sure we have a strong financial department or business office. And that's one of the first recommendations I said when I went in the first press conference was we need a good, strong financial officer. That's a model we've used on main campus that I oversee. The financial officer is just as important, I believe, as the leader of athletics. And as the new athletic director has been recruited, I'll be making that same recommendation to recruit a strong business office, because when you have a strong business office with good accountants, fiscal service techs, and a financial officer that's doing monthly reporting, doing variance analysis, and can really understand the reconciliations and catch them as they happen, then you can mitigate any risk that could occur.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. Our focus today is the UNM Athletics Department. You just heard from Chris Vajos from UNM. Do you have questions about how the department is managing its budget or finances right now, or what's going to happen in the future? Call in now, 277-KUNM. That's 277-5866. We're also live tweeting the show. Send us your comments. Use the hashtag Let's Talk NM. Let's get to there is a new athletic director. It was just announced last week. A new leader is important. Chris, is there also going to be some discussion about changing the culture in the department? Is that something you're working on?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at a department, the opportunity for change and improvements in any organization, no matter what organization I've overseen or I've managed, the opportunity is always to improve. I'm a big Baldrige quality person, meaning that we can always improve. So instituting that. So yeah, the culture has to change. We have to have better fiscal discipline, and we have to look at budgets, and there has to be tough decisions. And those are tough when you have a community that probably wants all sports. Can we be all sports? We have a community that wants us to be competitive. There's a price for to be competitive. You know, do we want to be second tier? We're the flagship institution. So all those play into the organizational culture. I think it's really exciting with Eddie Nunes signing on at the University of New Mexico. I look forward to working with him and his team he builds. And I think the culture will change. I think the opportunity is ripe, and let's move forward.
Jeff, you have a background reporting on other parts of local government. Has your reporting on UNM been any different?
Sure, absolutely. I think the while transparency is important, and I do believe that athletics believes that too. I don't think they think that transparency isn't a part of their job, but I don't think they've been asked to be as transparent as every other entity of government. They're not used to IPRA requests and public records requests. They're not used to the scrutiny that they've been getting the last couple years, really. It started heating up a couple years ago, I think. This summer, I think a lot more people that weren't paying attention really started to focus on it. But they've been – the scrutiny about the finances has really been starting to pick up the last couple years. And I don't think athletics, while they want to be transparent, are really used to having to answer those questions. And frankly – were resistant to having to answer those questions. They didn't like being questioned, and I had some certainly had some pushback with always asking those questions. And it, you know, it's frustrating to have that, because they're spending public money just like any other public entity that does have to go through that scrutiny.
Gabe, you also mentioned transparency earlier. Anything you want to jump in on here?
Yeah, you know, I think that's why I think that the university, and I think that's why students are seeing this audit and this new coverage that's coming out about the financial troubles that athletics finds itself in. That's why we see it as a huge opportunity for us to kind of change that culture and turn the ship around. I know that we sometimes kind of look at these audits and look at these investigations as negative things, but why don't we look at this as a very positive opportunity to turn things around?
I would point to that, and let me follow on that. The opportunity part and the word opportunity, it's not just being thrown around, I think, casually. I do think people within the athletics department that I've spoken with that, for whatever reason, don't want to necessarily go on the record and say this, but there are people that I've spoken with in the athletic department that are excited about this time and what's going on right now, and do believe that there is an opportunity to maybe – while not just throwing away and dismissing their part of what was going on in recent years, a lot of people see this as kind of a time for a fresh start on some things while not disparaging who was here or anything that was going on and their roles in it. There are a lot of people that do see some opportunity right now as a fresh start for the department.
We're going to go to a break in just a moment. But, Chris, we have a question from a caller who couldn't stay on the line. What percentage of student fees go to athletics? Do you know that number?
No, I don't. I'm not on the student review board. It's $4 million that comes to athletics, a little shy of $4 million. But out of the total, I would say it's probably $16 or $17 million. But I'm taking a guess. So we'd have to look at those numbers.
We'll try to look for that and get that on our website later. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We're talking about UNM athletics today, and we do want to hear from you. Are you a fan? Are you a current or former student at UNM? What do you want to say about how the athletics department is managed, what you think maybe the opportunities are, what you'd like to see in the future? The number to call to join the conversation, 277-5866. You can also use the hashtag Let's Talk NM if you want to make a comment on Twitter. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Since 1976, the firm has litigated Native American law, criminal defense, wrongful death, and civil rights in New Mexico and nationwide. Info at rothsteinlaw.com.
Support by New Mexico Museum of Art, presenting Lines of Thought, drawing from Michelangelo to now from the British Museum, in Santa Fe through September 17th. Drawings by Da Vinci, Cezanne, and Picasso. Info at nmartmuseum.com.
Halfway between Iceland and Norway in the North Atlantic, there's a collection of small rocky outcroppings, the Faroe Islands. They're home to a system of caves and a summer concert series. Coming up, music from inside the caves of the Faroe Islands on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Today we're talking about UNM athletics. We have a comment on Twitter from Ivy. She says UNM athletics provides exposure and revenue for UNM, but overshadows academic potential of the school. What do you think? What do you want to add to the conversation today? How would you like to see athletics managed at the university? 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. Also, here's a question. Is sports at UNM worth supporting with your tax dollars? Are you a current or former student who wants to make a comment about student fees? Again, the number 277-KUNM. All right, let's go now to Caroline in Albuquerque. Caroline, what comment do you want to make?
Well, I just wanted to say that I have two kids at UNM and one at New Mexico Tech, and the fees continue to increase. And when I saw in the paper that that group went to Scotland, I was so angry because they're basically going on a boondoggle that has absolutely nothing to do with anything about the education of my children. And they would much be much better off using that kind of money for increasing intramural sports or something that the average kid could do, or maybe getting another gym, because the weight rooms are always too busy for my boys to even, you know, get in there and work out. And I think it's just a crime that they're using these the athletes, like the football players, the basketball players, without paying them. But mostly just that since I work in at the base and I deal with federal contracting procurement rules, there's stringent rules that should definitely apply here. And we need some sunshine on this topic so that we don't have a few that are a few of those folks who are just pretty much walking off with the money while everybody else is paying additional fees.
Caroline, thanks for your call today. Let's go now to Michelle in Albuquerque. Michelle, what do you want to add to our conversation?
Yes, ma'am. So I was a former administrator at UNM for many, many years, and I've worked with the very highest officials at UNM. The athletics department has historically been given a free pass at UNM and allowed to do whatever they want. Our P-card services, our P-card offices, our administrators, we all know what's going on, and we are all forced to comply or lose our positions. Athletics has lost many administrators who questioned what was happening because it is absolutely against UNM policy, procedures, and regulations of which every single P-card holder has to take an in-person class or an online class. We are all very aware that we are utilizing taxpayer dollars and what our responsibilities are. But the people at the very highest level turn a blind eye and tell us to never mind, don't worry about it, mind our business, keep doing our job. If there is the slightest number out of balance on an average P-card report, you will get an immediate call from P-card services. You will immediately be told to fix and correct whatever errors, whether you forgot a receipt, whether numbers are not matching up, etc., or you will lose your P-card services, your P-card holder privileges. So all of this glossing over and PR fluff, everyone knows, and that is why there is no cooperation, that is why no one wants to say anything, because people's 20-year careers are on the line. That's why.
Michelle, thank you for... Michelle, what was that last comment that you made?
Their careers are on the line. These people have years and years and years and years invested in their careers at UNM, and they're not willing to lose their retirement, to lose their children's ability to go to school at a reduced cost. I mean, clearly people are getting frustrated, and students aren't attending the athletics because, I mean, they're in class with other students who are being exploited as athletes. Meanwhile, you have these boosters who are getting treated like kings at all of the students' expense. That's why you don't have people going, I've attended classes at UNM, and I was horrified at how the student athletes were treated. It's like the university will wipe their bottoms with them when they're done. No one keeps to their word. It's wild. It's a Wild West mentality, and they do whatever they want to exploit at the expense of the students.
Michelle,
it's too much.
Michelle, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate your call. Chris Vallejos, Associate Vice President at UNM. Do you want to, let's first say P-cards are basically the credit cards that UNM employees use. Everyone might not know that. Do you want to make a comment about her P-cards and what she says she saw in her experience?
Sure. I mean, as being an administrator down there, I get reports every day from the P-card administrator that we have to follow the rules. And the rules are being followed. And, you know, people might not see that. But, you know, I got a report yesterday, hey, these are 20 days old. Can you make sure you got receipts attached and all that? That's being done. That's only part of the puzzle. P-cards are a way of doing business at the University of New Mexico. Athletics has a lot of needs when they're on the road to put for their travel and their food and those kinds of expenses. But yeah, I mean, as an administrator looking at that, that's why we have going to have a strong business office to make sure those are reconciled on a very timely basis and continue going forward.
But she sounded like she had a lot of feeling, a lot of passion in her voice there. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this happened in the past, that P-card, I mean, Daniel Libet, who I'm going to bring on in just a moment, also reported that they weren't being reconciled in the athletics department?
You're right. That's exactly right, that there's probably some more time lapse than anything. The pressure on the administrators at the sport level to compete, to get the travel plans. So we're looking at what those peak periods are. So there's periods of time, whether it's during football season, like now there's four or five sports competing there. They're working 16, 17 hours a day, and sometimes the administrative duties slide back. We're looking at how we can bring in some peak-type people so we don't fall behind, and that's one of the risks that I've identified, and we're already mitigating that risk.
Jeff Grammer from the Albuquerque Journal, did you want to make a comment?
I did. I think just for some people that don't maybe understand the history of the P-card in athletics is there was a basketball operations director named Cody Hopkins whose his contract wasn't renewed. He was never technically fired, but he was put on leave. And he was accused after an internal audit by UNM that never interviewed him and didn't interview some people that oversaw him. He was accused of embezzling $63,000. That case has not yet been even presented to a grand jury by the district attorney's office, let alone charges filed. He was raising flags saying this isn't what happened. This audit is not true. And Daniel Libet had a lengthy article where he interviewed Cody, and I've spoken with Cody extensively. The P-card history is that multiple people in the basketball offices were using a P card under one person's name, but multiple people were using it for different things. Now, whether or not Cody did or did not take some of the money, that's for a court to decide, I guess. That's for auditors to decide. But he's been raising flags from the start that, look, this isn't about one person stealing money as UNM's audit portrayed it as. This is about, I met monthly with my bosses and I told them, hey, I'm falling behind on this P card stuff. He was warning them for months himself, and then he feels he was made a scapegoat of. And at the end of that audit, the internal audit about this P card use, where they said he embezzled $63,000, I was told this is a lone wolf kind of thing. This was a one person. The controls are fine in athletics. Everything is in the business office is fine. And then in the aftermath of that, and the reporting after that, we find things out like he had been reporting to former assistant athletic director Tim Cass, who had not worked at UNM since December. Well, then we found out actually Tim Cass was still on the payroll. He had just been taken off the directory. They had a formal retirement party for him and an announcement on the GoLobos.com website that he was leaving to go work with the USTA. Well, he was still making $25,000 a year by UNM and still is as a contractor and a consultant. So a lot of these things are what kind of put some damage into the public trust of athletics when they don't tell you that the guy is still on payroll, when the guy who was actually in charge of the person who was being accused of embezzlement and met with him monthly about the P card, when he wasn't disciplined in any way. And those kind of things, I think, are what hurt the public trust.
It's a good opportunity to bring in journalist Daniel Libet. He's on the line right now. Daniel has broken many stories on the Lobos for his site, NM Fishbowl. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Good to be with you.
We were just talking about your story on Cody Hopkins. What would you like to add to that in your coverage and in talking to Cody?
Well, I think the Cody Hopkins story was instructive of the difference between what the university is inclined to let people believe is the problems within the department, within the athletics department, and probably where the problems really are, which are at a much more fundamental level. So he sort of was a very brilliant example of that, where this is somebody who was dismissed from his job for what was really just put on him as almost like a criminal action on his part, without any really reconciliation of what was the larger problems within the university and within the athletics department. Let me just add something here, because I've been listening the whole time, and I got to say, I would not take a lot of comfort in so far what Mr. Vallejos has said about what he's finding or what he assesses are the problems. I mean, he's strung together a couple of buzzwords like fiscal discipline and saying that transparency is very important, and then talked about putting in a chief operating officer or a business executive in the athletics department as kind of what he sees to be the solutions. I don't think that nearly scratches the surface. There is the story of athletics over the last decade is about a department that has basically been held without really any financial accountability, and as that caller, I think her name Michelle, was pointing out very passionately, really has been kind of the Wild West, and has been permitted to be the Wild West. This is not about rounding errors and people falling behind on P cards. This is a sort of conscious decision to let athletics slide on a whole bunch of different fronts because, in many cases, it's because the athletics department is just stretched beyond its means because they cannot afford to do what they're attempting to do, and because administrators within the department and, frankly, outside of the department are not being held accountable for that. So I would not be very heartened by so far what Chris has said, and maybe he wants to elaborate a little bit more, but I find that to be really minimizing the issue.
Chris, do you want to respond?
Absolutely, Mr. Libet. It would take 16 hours for me to explain what I've discovered and what I've done in my assessment. I'm giving an overview to what I've said. It's all important. I do use buzzwords, and I mean it. If you look at my track record at the University of New Mexico, it's very positive. I run all our businesses in the black, and it is fiscal discipline, and there's lots of things that go on. It starts from the top all the way down to the bottom. So there has to be organizational cultural change. There has to be good financial officers and accountants. And you know, I can go on and on. So I'm definitely not minimizing it. It's a serious assignment. This is a tough assignment that I've been given. I take it very seriously, and the athletic department's taking it very seriously. And sometimes, you know, people don't believe that, but it's happening.
Daniel, you're from New Mexico, but you live in Chicago. Why is it important to you to do investigative reporting specifically on the Lobos? Why not another university?
Well, I just as well could have done another university, but you just explained sort of why I was attracted to covering UNM. I'm interested in a kind of reporting on college athletics that it really challenges it and runs it through the gauntlet of public service and public accountability journalism, and is not interested in the kind of entertainment aspect of it. And so, you know, I started my website back in November, thinking I want to just do this for one university, and I picked the university I had a decent familiarity with. But beyond that, there's not this kind of reporting should be going on around the country. If a newspaper or a journalism organization is staffing a beat to cover college athletics, this is what the beat should look like, at least as much as covering on-field performance. And, you know, unless and until, you know, higher education totally separates itself from athletics, you know, this is a concern of higher education. And so I think it's important, but that's my little experiment here. And I'm a native New Mexican. I was born, raised, and lived in Albuquerque since I was 18, or until I was 18 rather. And so I have a kind of keen interest in the affairs of my hometown. So that's why I've set my sights on UNM for the last 10 months or so.
And Daniel, earlier in the hour, I sort of told Jeff Grammer, you know, he's kind of, I've seen him take some heat online. I've seen you kind of take some heat online too, lots of criticism of your reporting. What, how has that kind of informed your look at this?
It hasn't. I mean, I recognize that this is, no one really wants to hear this, right? I mean, the constituency, my audience are people who are college sports fans. This is, so, you know, even if you were to cover politics, let's say, where you have, let's say, half of your audience for purely partisan reasons are not going to like a particular story about a particular government official or a particular politician, you'll at least have that other half for purely partisan reasons that will. This is like a partisanship of one. You know, for most of the people who care about Lobo Athletics, they're more than happy to put on the blinders and just root for the team. And so somebody who's sort of set out against making this an uncomfortable or asking some of the uncomfortable questions and pointing to some of the elephants in the room is obviously not very appetizing reading for the audience that mostly cares about this. But I would actually disagree slightly with that. I've been heartened by the response. You know, I was not assuming that there was going to be people who were particularly energized by what I was doing, at least in a affirmative way. But I got to tell you, I've been hearing from almost the time I started, that would be back in last winter. You know, I've just heard from people within the university increasingly. I have dozens and dozens and dozens of people within UNM who have become very valuable sources. And I would say on balance, more often than not, I hear pleasant things and compliments as opposed to people being upset with my work, which, again, that surprises me a little bit because I sort of knew what I was getting into here.
Daniel Libet from NM Fishbowl, you're going to stay with us for a few minutes. We have a Twitter comment from Lissa. She says, UNM has to focus on academics first in order to draw companies to New Mexico in the future. Are you a Lobos fan, or are you New Mexican who cares about what's going on right now with sports athletics at UNM? What do you think we should be doing right now to make sure the department's being run well? What action would you like to see taken by university officials? The number 277-5866. Again, that's 277-KUNM. Let's go now to Bandit in Albuquerque. What would you like to add to the conversation this morning?
Hello. I went to New Mexico Tech, and the tuitions are
some of the lowest and education the highest. The only sports teams are student organizations, which right now are, as I understand it, rugby and soccer. Now, half, my son goes to UNM, about half of his tuition goes to sports teams. And even though that, so my point is, if the sports teams want to exist, they should be self-sufficient and not taken out of the tuition of students. This affects the fact that the state budget is being cut also. So, I mean, I see no reason why the students should support the local sports teams. And I realize this is heresy, but, it makes no sense from an academic viewpoint.
Bandit, thanks for your call today. Gabe Gallegos, you're a student at UNM. You were also former communications director for student government. Do you have any thoughts on this call?
You know, I think that a lot of students want to see Lobo Athletics succeed. We want to see them competitive. But I think rooting for the team also means rooting for financial stability. And I think that rooting for the team means rooting for a clear strategy to resolve this financial crisis that the department finds itself in. I don't think that I think that students are fully supportive of their student fees and what they pay into the school to be used for athletics. But that has to be a public, transparent process to make sure that our student fees are being used as carefully as they can be.
Let's go now to Joan from Albuquerque. Joan, what's your comment today on UNM athletics?
Hello. Am I on the air?
You are. Welcome.
Oh, okay. My comment is that I am a longtime resident of Albuquerque. I moved here when my father joined the faculty in 1966. He's still teaching at his, and so I've been, and I came here to graduate school myself. I just think that we're spending way too much money on certain sports like athletics as opposed to academics and as opposed to other teams in the university.
Meaning other teams besides, say, football or basketball?
Yes, that we have some outstanding teams such as soccer. And I just remember some years ago we canceled some good programs such as wrestling, swimming, gymnastics. And the comment was that somebody said we can't keep 24, we don't have enough money to support 24 teams. I think that it could be spread out better. I'm not saying we should have no athletics. I'm saying that it should be spread out amongst the other teams. Our soccer team was at the NCAA level a few years ago, and I went to a game, and there were not even any locker rooms for the teams, and not any big. The soccer field is quite small compared to the football team.
Joan, thanks for bringing up. There are lots of other teams, and we'll talk about that some more in just a moment. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. If you have thoughts you want to share on the future of Lobo Sports, ideas of what you'd like to see, join us by calling 877-899-5866 or email letstalk@kunm.org. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
It's not every day you have a car to donate. In fact, it may be once in a lifetime. But when the time comes, do yourself and KUNM a favor. Donate it to keep great programs like this one on the air. If you itemize deductions, you'll get a sizable tax deduction, plus we'll give you a KUNM membership as our thanks for your special gift. Because it is special to donate your longtime car or truck. When you're ready, call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Thousands of salmon escape from farm pens in Washington state. They're Atlantic salmon that don't typically live in Pacific waters. Native fishermen are among those trying to retrieve the fish. And in Canada, First Nations groups are urging the Canadian government to stop salmon farming. We'll talk about the controversies surfacing around farmed salmon on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Sarah Gustavus. We're talking about UNM athletics right now. Just had a couple of calls raising questions about money spent on athletics, how cuts in higher education are part of this conversation. I'm joined today by Chris Vallejos from UNM, Jeff Grammer from the Albuquerque Journal, Gabe Gallegos, a UNM student. We also have Daniel Libet on the line from NM Fishbowl. Chris, on that question of cuts to higher ed, I think a lot of people are paying attention to the state legislature has made cut after cut after cut to higher ed. Do we need to cut back athletic spending? Is that on the table?
Definitely. I mean, athletics has an appropriation that comes from the state, which is very small percentage of their total budget, and they've taken the same amount of cuts as every other department across the institution. When you look at, for instance, and I don't know all the numbers, but in 2009, they cut us by like $42 million in higher ed at the University of New Mexico, and everyone took that percentage across the board. We started off by cutting administration because the public was saying that we were too top-heavy in the administration and we weren't effective and efficient. We've trimmed our labor force. Athletics has had the same appropriation decrease, just like any other program that gets it. So, whether it was 5% or 3%, they've had the same proportionate cut of their budget.
They've also run at a deficit, though, for many years.
They've had a few years where they've run deficit. I think it's maybe 8 of the 10. I think is where it's been.
That's most.
Yeah.
Is that going to change in the future?
You have to. The model's not sustainable. There has to be tough decisions. The business model in collegiate athletics, Mr. Libet has said that we should probably be looking at this across the United States. I don't know if there's very many programs across the United States. I think there's probably 5 schools that actually break even from their programs or give money back to their school. The rest of collegiate athletics, to stay competitive, usually has some kind of if you want to call it subsidy, or allows them to deficit spend. But when you look at that's what's happening in America with college sports. A couple of years ago, a number of faculty across America came together to look at trying to privatize athletics and take it away from the academic side of the institution in higher ed. There's been a number of those things that have gone across the United States, and the University of New Mexico is no different. I guarantee. I'm 95% confident that if we went and dug in the books of every collegiate sports across America, there's probably some subsidy or some things to break it even, and it's not holding its own. To stay competitive with coaches' salaries, the cost of recruiting, the cost of meals, the cost of compliance, the cost of academic performance. No one talks about our academic performance at the University of New Mexico. I really wish they would. People keep on calling in and saying, our athletes are actually superb in the classroom. That costs money. We had to set up a student success center. We had to change the ratios of tutors and advisors for those athletes so they can be successful. That costs money. And if you take that away, I guarantee academic performance will suffer. And so that's the balance. And I'm not the athletic director. I didn't apply to be the athletic director. It's a tough challenge for athletic directors to understand where they're going to put their return on investment. Is it in the classroom? Is it on the field? Is it in recruiting? Is it in travel? Do you want the kids on a bus, instead of being chartered? All those are huge decisions you have to make in the athletic department that have huge expenditures. And when people just see a piece of paper and see a budget, they don't quite understand the complexity of the decision making that goes on.
We have absolutely full phone lines, but Gabe, did you want to make a comment real quick? Okay, let's go to Matthew in Albuquerque. Matthew, you have a comment about student fees?
Yes. Earlier, everybody was asking about the percentage of athletics budget or the student fee budget that goes to athletics, and that's roughly 23%. I just wanted to let everybody know you can find out that information at the Student Fee Review Board website at sfrb.unm.edu. And under there, you can find the recommendations as well as any of the hearing timelines and things like that. And one of the things I did want to recognize is that $3.8 million roughly that goes to student fees for athletics is only a small portion of the $35 million that they do raise. But one of my concerns about the conversation that's being had right now is presenting the athletics budget as very complex, which has always been presented to the Student Fee Review Board and kind of a way of couching where they're putting student fees, and the student fee review board has always asked for them to expand specifically on where student fees are going, and I would like to encourage them to continue to try and point that out a little bit more clearly.
It sounds like, Matthew, have you been on the student fee review board before?
Yes, actually. I'm an outgoing graduate student, but I was a longstanding member on the student fee review board for about 4 years.
Thanks for calling in and making that clarification, and we'll get that website where folks can check out the info on KUNM.org. Thank you, Matthew. Let's go now to Nick in Albuquerque, a former student athlete. Nick, what can you add to our conversation today?
Hi. I'm sorry. I'm on the road, so if there's road noise, I apologize for that. But as a former student athlete, I'm not an expert on athletic department fiscal responsibility. I think it is important, but I know that in general, there are most athletic programs outside of football and basketball, if they're successful, don't raise funds to support themselves. I played football and I ran track at a smaller school, a Division II school, but I know that volleyball, softball, soccer, those are all great sports, track and field. Those are all great sports that teach athletics and allow students to go to school and get a scholarship, but most of them don't contribute financially the way that a larger sport would. And then for that matter, most athletic departments, if I'm not mistaken, with the exception of the University of Texas or Ohio State or Alabama, don't raise enough funds to support themselves just on ticket sales and merchandise sales. So what I also want to say is you can't discount the value they have on recruiting just your general student population. You know, students want to go to a school that has a brand, that has an program that they can identify with or that they grew up watching as their family support. So I think the recruiting in the general student population is also of value and may not get, the support that it should.
Those are some interesting points. Thanks, Nick. I'm a UT Austin alum. I can tell you the idea of student fees for athletics was new to me when I came here. Never paid them at UT Austin.
It's worth pointing out, too, that Eddie Nunez, the new athletic director, is coming from LSU, where they get no student fees for their athletic budget, and they get no university subsidy for their budget, too. So he's stepping into kind of a whole new world where not only is he going to be overseeing a budget, which he wasn't doing. He was a part of the budgeting process, but he wasn't overseeing a budget. But he's now stepping into a place where public money is a big part of how they run their department. And at LSU, they were between their TV deal with the SEC network and their ticket prices for football and ticket sales, I should say, for football. They were running without getting student fees. You won't be doing that here.
Well, this is why we're talking about this today. It's very important for this public conversation. Let's take a couple more calls. We have Tom in Albuquerque. Tom, I understand you have a family connection to UNM.
I do. My father was president to Dr. Farrell Heddy from 1968 to 1976, when incidentally we had a number two basketball team in the country. I missed part of this conversation. But what I've heard has been very good. My main point is that the athletic department and the administration in general of UNM has been run horribly with no accountability for quite a few years. And I think it's crucial that there is public oversight, not by the regents who are politically appointed and act that way. My father had numerous conflicts with micromanagement problems by the regents, and that's why he resigned when he did and went back to teaching. But I think it's very important that everything be open to public scrutiny, including the budget. Whoever was talking about the student organizations, student government organizations having access, not being told, nor should the media, nor should the public be told, that the athletic budget is too complex for people to understand and know about. So I think that's the absolute crucial thing. I think sports, varsity sports at the university level and at UNM are incredibly important. They do provide all the opportunities and pluses to the university, people have said. I think there needs to be a balance with teams like that don't generate the kind of revenue that the basketball team does. That there needs to be a balance with those smaller teams. Soccer, the ski team, which was one of the top in the country that was just cut, that's disgusting if that happened. So the smaller teams, the ones that can be top 10 teams, like the UNM soccer team, should be definitely well-funded, and that should be a priority. And frankly, I know, I've lived here since 1968. UNM has never had a competitive football team. They never will. Basketball, that's a possibility. But the priorities still need to be on student athletes and complete public accountability. And I hope to God that the new athletic director is capable, not only capable, but also honest. And I think those things have been lacking for quite a while in the athletic department and in the administration.
He is new on the job. We will be watching and talking with him as he takes over here at UNM. One more call, Nathan in Albuquerque. Nathan, what would you like to add today?
Hi. I wanted to say that I think that the whole athletic department is a financial drain. It's a distraction from academia, and there's really no reason for having it or for prioritizing any of the athletic on academics and learning. It goes against the function and purpose of the university. And if we do keep it, it should have a lower priority than absolutely everything else, both financially and from management and attention. There's really, we'd be better off without it. Thanks.
Nathan, thanks for your call today. Chris Vihost, do you want to respond to that?
Athletics is part of the 100-year history of the University of New Mexico, of all presidents that have come in. It's part of the branding of a university. It's very important. And, you know, just comments that when I say complex budget, it's not about – you have to go in front. It's hard to explain all the intricacies of a budget to the students in an hour presentation. You know, I've been an administrator for 31 years now, and understanding fund accounting and all the complexities that go into the funding streams and the revenues and the expenses. And you try to make it simple, and then you get told on the other end, oh, it's too simple. You know, why aren't you telling us this? You can't sit there and explain every dollar because they would have to be in the department for that. So I think the athletics is very important to the University of Mexico. It's a brand. We got to brand it. That's what brings people to New Mexico. There's economic development based on tournaments and things that come to our city and our state, and people need to understand that's important. And I totally agree. There has to be public accountability, and it has to be run at the best it can. And so, but I think at the end of the day, it is a very important asset at the University of New Mexico.
Gabe, UNM student, former student government leader, any final thoughts you want to leave us with of what you'd like to see in the future?
Yeah, I think that every department at UNM is being asked to do less with more. And I think that athletics shouldn't be different, that shouldn't be any different for their scrutiny in that department. And my last point is that I agree that athletics brings a brand, it brings a recruitment. But at the same time, having the shadow of an audit, having the shadow of financial mismanagement, that's not a good brand. And so I'm hopeful that Mr. Nunez is going to be able to turn the ship around. So
Daniel Libett from NM Fishbowl, we're at the end of the hour here, but final comment you want to leave for us?
Yeah, well, I think athletics should be different. I mean, when we're talking about, for example, the proportionate decrease in funding across the different departments because there's less capital outlay money or less taxpayer money, you got to square with the ethics here. Athletics is not as important as the biology department, and if you're in a university administrator and you're not seeing that, I don't know why you're in the business of higher education. It is just not as an essential component of public education. And as far as the branding thing or the staying competitive thing, this is a school that largely services an in-state population. This is not a school that draws lots of students from Texas and Arizona and Colorado. UNM has always been a public institution that has served the people of the state. So this branding, I think at some point becomes a bit of a canard where you're saying this, but you know, what are the results of investing tons of money or money that you don't necessarily have into an athletics department that is a mid-major Mount West Conference department. The caller before who mentioned, I don't agree that UNM football can't be competitive, but I definitely don't think UNM football can be profitable, and I think its history has proven that, and its current state has proven that. This is a team that has come off of back-to-back winning seasons, and the first game of the season,
Daniel,
21,000 people show up.
Daniel, I know there's so much more.
These days.
There's so much more for us to talk about. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to have to end it there. The conversation doesn't have to end right now. Use the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Sarah Trujillo screened your calls today. Elaine Baumgartel is executive producer. This is Let's Talk New Mexico.